Hello, it's Thursday, October 20th, and you're listening to Wing TV and MP3. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We want to start off by thanking someone named George. We got an email yesterday, and in the subject line it says, "I want my Wing TV." He goes on to say, "I like your show and just want to throw in my two cents. You should keep doing the TV show every day, not audio shows. You are Wing TV, and I want my Wing TV." So we want to thank George, and if we didn't have the problems with this bandwidth, we would definitely be doing a TV show every day.
Yeah, you know what? I really appreciate the feedback that we're getting about the photo galleries. I'm amazed that so many people dig them as much as they do.
Yeah, and we also want to say that there's a guy out there who actually might be in some danger this weekend. That's Patriot Jim Kujwa. He lives down in Tampa, and depending where this new hurricane comes through, it might hit where he lives. But when we talk on this show about being an activist, about not having fear of the authorities or the people in control, this guy epitomizes it, doesn't he?
You bet. And he's out there every week in St. Petersburg. They do weekly protests now, and he sends us pictures every week. And it's awesome, the efforts that they are going to get the word out.
Yeah, we've attended three different protests with Jim. And I'll tell you, if it comes to having anybody who would put his nose right up against the New World Order, this is the guy. And he gets a little hot under the collar sometimes.
He's never a dull moment with
Jim
around.
That's right. And he gets hot under the collar, though, because he's so passionate. He believes so much in what he's doing, and he despises this New World Order to such an extent. And he isn't just one of these guys that sits around and bitches about it. As Lisa said, he goes out every weekend now with this anti-war group down in St. Petersburg, and they're out there with their signs and banners and so forth. So we just want to say a big hello to Patriot Jim Kujwa down there in Tampa.
Let's not forget, too, Jim Kujwa was a protester back in the 60s during Vietnam. So he's got a long history of activism, and he's one of the few Vietnam-era activists that still get out there.
Yeah, he didn't turn into some yuppie and just forget about what happened in the past.
He's remained true to himself.
That's right. So, Lisa, right now, we have to put a call out. This is the Wing TV Tin Cup Fund, and today it has to go out to William Rivers Pitt, who is in charge of a group called truthout.org. Tell everyone what happened today. This woman sent an email around.
This is so beyond pathetic. I don't know if I can accurately describe it. I have a political group, New World Order Corner. This woman, Marsha, posted a panhandling letter on behalf of William Rivers Pitt in my group, and I went ballistic. Yeah. Because, once again, now he's not only begging for himself, now other people are begging on his behalf.
Yeah, and before Lisa explains what this guy's all about, you've heard us mention his name before on Wing TV, and every month he sends out these mass emails.
No,
two,
it's
three,
more often than that.
Yeah,
it's,
it might even
like
be every couple
now.
Weeks. Yeah, but it's these mass emails begging people for money, but it goes beyond begging. He starts chastising them and saying, like, well, only 1% of the people who come the truth out are the ones who donate to our organization. What's it going to take to get these other people involved? And he's begging, begging, begging. So every single time I get one of these, I send him back an email and say to him, William, do you know how pathetic you look? Don't you have any self-respect whatsoever? If things are this bad, why don't you go out and get a job? Well, he wrote an email back one time, and he says, F you. That was his only response. But, but tell everyone now what this guy does and where his money comes from.
Well, let's put it this way. He doesn't operate a cash register at your local Unimart for minimum wage, okay? He was a dean for several years. He was a high school teacher teaching multiple subjects. He's a political analyst for the Institute for Public Accuracy. He's a managing editor and senior writer for Truth Out. He's an internationally best-selling author. Okay, now I looked up the Institute for Public Accuracy. They say on their bio that they provide increased exposure to media, grassroots organizations, and progressives, also known as liberals, to get their word out into the mainstream media at no cost to them, at no cost to people like William Rivers Pitt.
Right. And how much money did he get as a grant?
The Institute for Public Accuracy began with a grant of $100,000 a year for 2 years. They have a San Francisco office, and they have a media office in Washington, D.C. So I guess they're doing all right, and they are 501c3.
Here's a clue.
Tax exempt.
Here's a little tip. Anytime you hear any of these alternative media groups receiving grants, that should be the biggest red flag there is, because that means right then they've been paid off, bought off, and they've sold out. Look at Amy Goodwin with the disinformation now.
Right.
She got grants from the Ford Foundation, the Carnegies, on and on and on.
CIA.
Right. And we have to wonder then, why don't they talk about the truth of 9/11 or these any other things? I emailed William Rivers Pitts a few times and gave him all of the truth about 9/11, and never once does he talk about it. The reason why is because these people are getting grants, which means that they're put inside their box within their parameters, and if they want to keep getting this grant money, that means they can't talk about these issues. A grant in the alternative media means they've sold out, they've been bought off. It's that simple.
Well, I asked further questions like, what exactly is William Rivers Pitt doing that he needs so much of your money? Let's see, he has Truth Out, the website, and he sends around internet articles. Other than that, I don't see William Rivers Pitt dragging his dead butt out into the street to do any activism or anything which we would think would be substantive.
Well, and he's posting articles from mainstream sources, for starters, and he's not doing anything different than any of us are doing.
Right,
we're
and
all
he has access to an organization that provides him increased exposure to the mainstream media and mainstream media audiences. So why does William Rivers Pitt, who's, I guess, in his 30s, and he's not debilitated, need so much of your money?
Now, add the other element to it, where this Marsha woman went out
and
bought lottery
this
tickets.
Pathetic.
It's even worse.
She posts this letter to my group, and in it she says that she got her friend to go with her to purchase as many lottery tickets as they could afford. And if they win the lottery, they're going to donate money to William Rivers Pitt and other very important patriots. Now, so in other words, she fed into a state of federal racket to feed into a person's individual racket.
Exactly.
This is like double chump behavior.
Now, Lisa and me have a very strong hatred for the lottery. I mean, it goes even beyond. We call them lottery losers because
it's such an addiction.
Lottery, not only is it an addiction, and not only is it total losersville, but this is another tax.
Yeah.
By the government. It's nothing more than an added tax. And if anyone reads our books and our articles where we list all of the taxes that people pay during the year, it ends up, if you're a homeowner, you pay about 52% of your income in one form of taxation or another. Then you're going to add another tax called the lottery. And even the mafia, when they used to run their numbers games, gave better odds than the lottery.
I think
gives.
You have a better chance of getting struck by lightning than winning the lottery. And if you really are in desperate need to throw your money away like that, we suggest you just roll down the window of your vehicle. Drive by our house and just dump your cash out the window. We'll run behind your car and try to catch the money.
You know, and I hear these people and they say, oh, I just won $20 on the lottery. What they don't say is they spent $50 to win the $20, or they say, I just won $70.
Right.
Well, they don't say that they dropped $180 to win the $70. Nobody wins the lottery except for one person in a million, and I mean in an overall sense.
And then they're taxed to high hell.
Right. Well, anybody that would accumulate or tabulate how much money they spent on the lottery per year versus what they won, every single person loses in the big picture.
Right.
That's the way the government makes their money. It's worse than a casino.
Listen, you have your own bills to pay. You have your families to feed. We've got the holidays looming. We've got gas is going to increase. Home heating bills are going to double or triple. William Rivers Pitt can pay his own way.
Yeah. And before we end this subject, touch again what you said the other day, Lisa, about OPM, what this person in the alternative media who writes for Jeff Rentz. Tell everybody what he said, how people should support themselves.
He said that Victor and I should get a scam OPM. It's called Other People's Money, OPM. And that way we wouldn't have to work either. We would just live off of other people's money. He said that's the way it should be done. That's the way to do it.
Now, think of how many people...
Disgusting, isn't it?
Think of how many people in the alternative media live on this OPM scam.
Right.
There's Mike Rupert.
Alex Jones' name was brought up as an example of OPM.
Yeah, he said this is a scam where you set something up so you can live off other people's money. Why are so many people so ready to throw their money at these people in the alternative media?
Well,
it's so mind-boggling.
What's really mind-boggling is that you can see it clearly when it's a televangelist doing it, but you can't seem to see it clearly when it's someone within the alternative media sucking your money right out of your pocket.
Yeah, I mean, everybody sneers at the televangelists and mocks them and says how pathetic they are and how stupid anyone could be to fall for it. Yet, here's all these people in the alternative media. John Kaminsky sends out his begging letters and on and on and on. And if we can see through it on a day-to-day basis and get back to
this... You know what it really is? It's an aversion to work.
They don't want to work.
Yeah.
It's that simple. They don't want to work. And I've said it before, the day I have to come out here and beg for money like these other people do is the day I'll go crawl in a ditch and die and starve to death.
No, that's the day you get slapped upside the head by me.
Exactly. And one last thing about the lottery is when I hear people talk about it, because there's this big, I don't even know, $340 million lottery that just was won today, actually. And when people talk about it, it's like they're talking about heaven. You know? It's
that
like
nirvana.
Yeah. It's like, if I win the lottery, I'm going to do an ending, go A, B, C, D, E, F, G down the line. And are people's lives so empty? Is there so little hope for the future that they have to go out? And we see some of these people, Lisa, $40, $50, $60 a pop buying lottery tickets.
We'll wait in line at the store behind someone for over a half hour while they get their $100 worth of lottery. It's just absolutely pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, don't give your money to these OPM scam artists in the alternative media, and don't support the government with another tax. They're just bilking you out of your money. It's so pathetic.
Here's some more dismal news. The latest snapshot on how well our students are learning in this country isn't looking too good. National tests have showed a small gain in math proficiency in the past 2 years and zero gain in reading scores since 1992. About 70% of our students nationwide are still scoring below grade level in math and reading tests. And only 30% of fourth and eighth graders scored high enough to be considered proficient in reading in 2005.
Yeah.
Yeehaw, huh?
Yeah, yeehaw. Now, on yesterday's show, we alluded to Bill O'Reilly in an article that was going to appear today. Well, if you've seen this article, it's called Bill O'Reilly's Sexual Frustration. And I wrote this article, and me and Lisa were talking about it last night a little bit, and we noticed, even though we don't watch O'Reilly very frequently, in the last couple years or so, or even last year and a half, ever since he had this lawsuit filed against him by a woman named Andrea Macris, and it brought up all this stuff about how he's into loofahs, and we won't get into the graphic details, but he seemed to become more bitter now, hasn't he?
Well, I guess he's not having the fun that he was having when he was able to sexually harass women and get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, here's this guy who portrays himself to be this cultural warrior. He's the one that stands up for everything that's good and right in America.
He's looking out for you.
Yeah, and yet, behind the scenes, this guy was on par with the toe sucker, Dick Morris. He was on par with party boy, Bill Clinton.
That's
they
right.
were all doing the same things. They become sexual predators by using their position and power.
Right, the only way he got out of that Macris situation was he had to pay his way out.
Yeah, he had to fork over about $6 million out of his own pocket because Fox News said they're not going to pay for it. And now, every woman that comes in contact with Bill O'Reilly has her radar up because they know what kind of a degenerate, deviant, just dog he
is. Not to mention the incessant spin-meister.
Yeah, so he can't do his games anymore. He doesn't have his casting couch where he, you know, plays the little games and says, well, if you do this and you do that, maybe we can elevate you. You know, he's just done with it. So now, when he's off work, he has to go home to his wife, and she knows what he's all about, so the party's over for Bill O'Reilly, and that's why we think he really wants to retire, is because if he can't have these fringe benefits, why even do it anymore?
Well, he could always go and, hold a cup out and do some panhandling so he can open up his new loofah store.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about this movie real quick that we watched last night, Lisa. It was called The Experiment.
Yeah. Well, we watched the German version called Das Experiment.
Yeah. And we saw the American version, a year or so ago also. And this was based on something called the Stanford Prison Experiment,
right,
which is famous in the psychology field.
Right, it was a psychological experimental study that was done in the summer of 1971 where students participated in an experiment, a simulated prison experiment. Some of them were acting as the guards and others were chosen to be the prisoners.
Now, they were selected for this experiment because an advertisement was placed in a newspaper in Palo Alto, California. It said they would get $15 a day for 2 weeks.
Right.
All they had to do was become part of this experiment.
Now, some of the questions that the people running this study wanted to find the answers to were, what happens when you put good people in an evil place, and does humanity win over evil, or does evil triumph?
Right. So what happened was that they selected, 14 people, I believe, 14 or 18
people. I think there
people.
Ended up being 24 in it all together.
Okay.
Some were on call
yeah.
to be standby participants.
And 70 or so people applied for it. They picked out the 24 or so, they tested them, and picked out who they determined to be the most normal, the most
right.
average of all of them. So they didn't pick psychos to do this. Then they picked some to be guards, some to be prisoners. And the ones who were prisoners, they actually went to their houses, unbeknownst, and they arrested them. They actually had the Palo Alto police come up to their car. Neighbors were around. They handcuffed them, took them down to the
they
police station.
They blindfolded them and
yeah.
took them to the police station.
Yeah. Took them down there. Then they strip searched them.
Right.
They deloused them. They
right.
stripped them naked. And they threw them in jail.
Now, what Stanford University did, they constructed an actual simulated prison in the basement of the university with actual cells. So they had three prisoners per cell. And then they had three prison guards on duty for each shift.
Right. And the guards were told they only wanted two things out of the guards. They weren't to use violence, and they wanted to maintain control of the prison.
But
that's
other than
it.
That, they didn't get any training in how
right.
to be a guard. And
no.
they even had a solitary confinement cell, which
yeah.
they called the hole.
Yeah. By day two, already now, the prisoners had staged some kind of prison rebellion. And they portray this pretty good in the movie, where they were throwing stuff through the bars and harassing them until the guards actually had to run out. Well, the guards then retaliated,
yeah.
didn't they?
Well, what ended up happening was, it was supposed to be a 2-week study, but they had to end this experiment prematurely after 6 days because of what it was doing to
mm-hmm.
the college students. Some of the guards were actually turning sadistic.
Right. And one of the guards, it's funny, is the woman who finally, she was the girlfriend of the professor who was staging this experiment. She came in on day 5. But earlier in the day...
Go ahead.
Earlier in the day, she had met with one of the guards. She didn't know it was a guard. It was just a college kid. And she thought he was the nicest, most just personable kid she'd ever met. It ends up that this guy was nicknamed John Wayne
uh-huh.
by the other prisoners.
He was so sadistic.
Yeah, he was the worst of all.
The experimenters wanted to study the effects of living in an environment with minimal external sensory stimulation, with no clocks, no view of the outside world, and it really had a profound effect on every single person in the experiment.
Yeah, and we bring this up today because it shows that if it shows what people are capable of doing on their own. Now, think if there's an outside stimulus added to this, like someone from the government or someone in the alternative media. And we've spoken about this before, Lisa and I, that what if we came on this show for a year and a half or 2 years straight, every single day, and said that the sun is purple polka dotted? Every single day, really pounded this message into people's heads. I'll bet at some point, if someone's talking to one of our listeners, and they said, what color is the sun? Somewhere, someone's going to say, well, I think It might be purple polka dotted.
Well, one of the things that they learned about this was what happens to people when they are sent to prison, and what happens to the people who are the guards in the prison. The people in this experiment actually started assuming the roles that they were given as prisoner and guard, and the line between reality and role-playing was very blurred.
Yeah. Now, when Lisa said they assumed the roles of, what also if somebody pounds a message into your head every day for 3 hours straight? Be afraid. Be afraid. Mm-hmm. Be afraid. Be afraid. Over time, what's going to happen to the person listening to this message? They're going to become afraid.
Right.
That's why we can't understand why people so willingly submit to listening to Alex Jones's psychic-driving fear-mongering.
Right. And what the psychic-driving fear-mongering does is make you a prisoner.
Yeah.
Because it traps you within your fear, and it causes your perceptions to shift, and you start not seeing reality the way it really is.
Yeah, think of the difference in messages. We're telling everyone...
The powerlessness?
Yeah, we're telling everyone on this show to free their minds, to become active, to not be afraid. And Alex Jones and the fearmongers are telling everyone, be afraid. Crawl under your bed. You should be very, very terrified.
Yeah. Ask yourself this. Who does it serve for you to be afraid?
It serves the people in control because they want you to be afraid. It's just like in that movie last night. The guards, after they got humiliated, they started plotting on how to make the prisoners more afraid.
Right.
They wanted to increase their power by making their subjects more afraid. When Alex Jones makes you afraid, who's he serving? You or the New World Order? He's a shill for them. Don't buy it and spread the word. Spread the word. No more fear.
Absolutely. Screw fear.
Yeah. So, anyway... The movie's called The Experiment, also Das Experiment in the German version. And this is something that's very interesting also. I just found this out today, Lisa. Was a guy that did the prison experiment was boyhood friends with the guy who did the Milgram experiment. They
is
were
that
best
right?
friends.
Doesn't that figure?
It's eerie.
The Milgram experiment was on a similar basis, and you can look that up in Google. It's Milgram experiment.
That's very mind-blowing, too. Now, on tomorrow's show, we're very much looking forward to having Mr. Morgan Reynolds.
Oh, absolutely.
And not only are we going to talk about 9/11 and the controlled demolition, but since he's an economist, we want to ask him about what's going on today in the economy, the housing bubble, interest rates, how the dollar is doing, and so forth. So he's always a great guest, and we had a chance to meet him down in Washington, D.C. And just
a wonderful fellow.
Yeah, and if we had more people like him in government... They came out and spoke about these issues, we sure wouldn't be in the position we're in now.
Absolutely.
So, and one last time now, this is going out to all the panhandlers out there. Don't buy into their shtick, because all they want to do is suck money out of you the easy way.
Here's our message to all those people out there who are trying to suck the money out of your pocket. Get a job.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there is a lot going on.
See you then.